a chance. So say goodbye to everything you ever knew before, and I'd understand if you went running out the door. And I'll keep you safe, and no harm will ever come to you, I swear. And I'll kill if they even dare.
Well, good morning. I'm just going to dive right into it, as always. This is...
Whoa, what the...
That was a douchebag. I heard it.
Douchebag snuck right in before we could even introduce shit.
He's been sneaking his mouth into people's ears.
Guess who that was, Boot? That was Seth Welch. I had a couple of expletives between there that I didn't say.
Well, this is Seth Welch.
M-D-O-C. 620104.
Tatiana Fusari?
Fusari.
Oh. Michigan Department of Corrections number 622951.
I had to get all fancy. Seth and Tatiana moved to the Cedar Springs area somewhere around 2001, 2000, and dose.
That's decades. Two for us, yes.
Case.
Oh my God!
See how that I means pulled I need that in.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep talking. We'll
keep going. The couple moved to the farm in this here country to start their homesteading dream, as Seth himself puts it, to seek truth and to learn about life from the ground up.
Yeah, good Lord. Admittedly,
don't bring the Lord into this already.
All right, he's gonna.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
admittedly, being a bit nervous about the government, the couple lived a few years in a kind of a sort of a prepper, self-sufficient type of thing.
Kind of off the grid, but I'm sorry, you guys, we are not that far in the country to be
not
like
far enough
off the grid, off the grid. But they did. They grew their own shit. They called themselves... They were learning from the ground up, Boo, and they were canning things and raising things, and they were doing their thing.
Yeah, they didn't do it well enough.
Well, you know what?
What?
When they moved up here, Seth claims that they were both broken people, and they needed to get it together financially and mentally.
Yeah, I'm not sure that worked out very well for either of them. The couple had 10 acres to tend to and seemed to dig into the lifestyle.
Oh, my God. I totally can't even mow our front yard.
It was called Black Acre Farm Products and was located at the corner of Algoma and 20 Mile Road. It's pretty close.
It's so close. It's creepy. Quite quickly, Seth, you know, had a little ding-a-ling-a-ling go on in his noggin, and he realized that they kind of need to make money.
Yeah, and they weren't making money with their little farm.
Not so much. That was just self-sufficiently, you know, it was feeding them, some of them.
So he realized he wouldn't be able to stay home and raise money enough to raise their three kids, ages 4, 2, and soon a newborn. And tend to their self-sufficient farm because it costs money.
You can't just, nothing's for free. Not even a self-sufficient farm. You got to buy something from somewhere somehow. Cow poop. They didn't have cow poop.
Tatiana was working at McDonald's.
I'm pretty sure I never saw her face if it was the Cedar Springs one. Because I remember faces.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, she was working at McDonald's, so you know... That wasn't a big income getter, and you know they don't have insurance or anything. So the two decided they're going to expand their farm, their organic garden, so they could start selling at local farmer markets to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I envision they, never mind, keep going.
The couple started really getting into growing and producing veggies, fruit, and honey. And selling at the local farmers markets.
like the old school back in the day. Grand Rapids had the Fulton Street Farmers Market.
It's still a thing.
No, they made that whole new one. Is Fulton Street still there?
Hell yeah, it
they
is.
Made that whole new one downtown. That big weird one we've never been.
That's a different
to.
One.
What?
Oh, yeah, Fulton Street's still there.
No way. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I also imagine that they go to the Truffant sale.
Oh, we know about the Truffant sale.
We've heard about the Truffant sale. Excuse me. And I also imagine that they go to the Truffant sale, and they also had a roadside stand by their home, which you drive by at least two of them every day on your way to work.
Right.
They're common in these parts.
Seth started a Facebook page and a YouTube page, but it seemed Facebook videos and posts were his thing.
Yeah, he only had like one video up on YouTube. He would post photos and videos of their growing process and their kids helping them and their honey making bees. Their bees making honey.
It was during this time of growth and mending of their broken selves that Seth found the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ himself.
Lord and Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah.
The two changed the name of their little farm from Black Acre Farm Products to Stewards of Creation Farm.
That's the stupidest name.
Hey, whatever.
Even if you're religious, that's a stupid fucking name.
Oh, it gets really good.
Seth had people that claimed they would buy his stuff at bulk and whatnot, and it was going really well at first. Well, actually, only the first year went well, and then people kind of let Seth down. They backed out of their apparent commitments and... You know.
Oh, he's truly let down by fellow humans.
He was disgusted by fellow humans. He's like the Grinch. You know what I learned about the Grinch? The Grinch loves Christmas. Oh. He just doesn't like humans.
Oh. I got something I can tell you later, but not in this production.
Okay.
In Seth's video, a very... prophetic message for all of people. He really digs into his feelings.
That's the name of the video. You didn't. You should have exclamated that more.
You know, there's a lot of things I could do better.
A very heavy prophetic message for all people. He digs into his shit, boot. You can understand how lost souls of the world
this poor
could
man.
Fall for his shit. He kind of, I mean, he definitely sounds confident, but he's absolutely insane in his bullshit talking. But that's only because I don't believe in the Lord.
So we saw a video of him standing behind
many videos.
Strange, weird structure. With cars driving by, most certainly reading the bejeebus of Jesus and quotes.
He was outside and he's behind this weird structure, which I don't know why we are both still hung up on what the fuck that structure was.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, but why does it irritate us that we don't know what it is? Who cares?
I don't care.
But he's
got stupid.
All his property going, like, on one side of the property, he's got those, like, wooden fences with the two wooden fences, right? And then there's actual signs. And the signs said, signs.
Repent. The signs. Believe. Obey. My kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom come. His will be done.
Wait, don't we have to say that at some people's funerals?
You say it in church
also,
all the time, yeah.
Oh my, I thought that was a ghost. You just kicked our trash down.
Did I? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's even spookier. You didn't know you did it. There were also signs that said, love your enemies and pray. And Moses said, the Lord is my banner. What the fuck does that even mean?
I'm not really sure.
Oh
On the wooden fence, it read, repent,
that's
believe,
what you've
obey.
Already said.
Oh, do you, but you just went up there and said,
because you skipped a four.
Later in this video, you hear the sweet clucking of chickens as he continues his 15-minute rant or sermon, whatever you want to call it,
chicken.
Which Her Highness sped up, and it still
I didn't speed it up for you guys, but I had to listen to these videos numerous times to get my information. So guess what?
Play this clip.
You guys get to be tortured with an inch as much as I had to listen to. Here is part of Mr. Cool's sermon, outdoor sermon. All right, let's see if I can do this.
Don't ignore the messages that he is sending to you through the prophets and through the preachers of this day.
Amen.
This is not, it's not something to play around with. You don't get pursue holiness after you die. You don't get to profess belief after you die and live your best life now. It doesn't work that way. This is the life you get. This is the life you get to seek God. You don't get time after you die. This is it. So don't put it all. You don't know when your day comes.
This is it.
You know.
What's that song? Okay. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff he would say. And he would post all of these things on their farm Facebook page, which, by the way, is linked down below.
I used to work with a guy who got fired from where I live or where I worked.
For being too?
Because he stole things from work, but he was also a preacher in his past. Yeah. I won't tell you his name.
Fucker, do I know him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Off mic, you better tell me his name. Yeah. We have no secrets, motherfucker, because I host a murder. What does it say?
It was
roses are red, ultraviolet lights are blue. I host a murder podcast. They'll never find you. Okay, so that's the kind of shit he would do. He would post long videos of just him talking and sometimes reading Bible verses. Number 25.
Thank you. First, he rants about why his business failed.
It's entertaining. It's not his fault. Mm-mm. Of course it's not his
fault.
That's
a narcissistic thing. Okay, beyond the excuse of not feeling right about jacking his prices up, he says this.
I'm going to torture you again. Here we go.
My wife and I are followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, you cannot serve two masters.
Mm-mm.
You cannot serve God and money.
Mm-mm.
Or you shall love one and cling to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in a religious environment, and I heard that same thing over and over again. It's tiring.
I heard it every once in a while. You know what I want to say?
What?
Jack White style. It's, did you hear my tummy?
Oh.
It's basically, you can't be a pimp and a prostitute, too. That's what
that
it boils
pretty well
down
sums it
to.
Up.
Thanks.
Yep.
That's all credit to Jack White.
So.
That's what he starts ranting. I also have that video included because he's talking about how all of the investors let him down. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about what his farm goals were when they moved up there, when they were, you know, trying to be all self-sustaining and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, my God, this is great. So being a bigger farm didn't work for him. Okay, wait. First, being a self-sustaining farm didn't work for him, right?
Right.
Secondly, being a bigger farm that sold at, you know, farmers markets didn't work for him. So thirdly, the good Lord said to him, this is what we're going to do.
It has been, what, 9, 10 months now, the gestation period of a new birth.
Oh.
No coincidence, hey. I don't think there. And it is time to now rebirth the farm into a
facility
wherein God is
served
through our methodology of farming. We're going to steward and promote the resources of creation instead of consuming them for profit. And if that means that we got to tighten some belts and we have to forego on some things or do something the hard way, that's what we're going to do.
See?
You know, that people fall for that shit.
I know, and lots of people did. And people gave him money. He asked for money in that exact same video. Sorry about the noise of me setting my cup down.
He gets more disgusting than this.
It does get more disgusting, but that's kind of like, he's like, okay, this didn't work, so we're going to bring people out. We're going to bring people out and teach them about the ways of which we've already failed in two different ways. So, but we'll bring them out anyways and teach them in the ways of which we have failed, thy Lord.
Oh, my God. So he goes off on the U.S. dollar, the government.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And he's definitely not going to profit off the people any longer, apparently.
Oh,
yep.
This one made me realize how much of a narcissist he is. You guys, I'm going to play a clip, and here it is.
But in my heart, I say, nah, I got to give it away for free, man.
Give it away.
I can't hold on to this. Like, that's not the best good for man. That's not loving your neighbor. That's profiting off of their ignorance.
See?
And
narcissist.
That's something I refuse to do. That is not godly. That's not holy. And that is not the way of Christ.
No, excuse me. I'm sorry. What does Christ ask you to do at every church service?
Oh, give money.
Dude's got Christ all wrong, man.
Oh.
So, yeah, he couldn't profit off of people because that's just not right, even though that's was step two in his plan, apparently.
Right. It's like a step three process, you know, a three-step process.
It
sucker him in, get him to give you money, and then just...
It's literally evangelistic.
That's how religion is, right?
It's a ding fucking dong boot right on the noggin, the nose, right in your eyeballs.
So Seth took tightening ye old family belt a little bit too seriously.
Yeah, that video that I just played was posted on May 29, 2018. I also have a link to that. You guys can be, oh my God, I had to watch it so much.
Mm.
So yeah, they had to tighten the belt boot because shit was not financially going so well.
1 year and 2 months later, on the afternoon of August 1st, 2019, Seth and Tatiana took baby M and put her down. As Seth said, around 3:30 in the afternoon, put her down.
Okay, but I understand. People usually say, I put her down for a nap. He might have shortened it, but it was during a 911 call. He could have not made it sound like he was shooting a horse or something.
Okay.
Put her down. Oh, my fucking... You guys, I'm going to get verklempt up in here.
19 hours later...
This is a baby thing.
Mom... Tatiana finally decides that baby M has had enough sleep and that
19 she goes hours to wake her later. Up. Oh my God. I just can't.
Baby M won't wake up again.
I can't.
I know. Tatiana took her youngest child.
I fucking can't.
Out of the crib. Placed her on the changing table.
Sorry, will you do that again? Because I just got all irritated and hit the fucking thing.
Are we starting at 32?
Yeah.
19 hours later. 19 hours later, mom.
I'm not laughing.
Tatiana finally decides that baby M has had enough sleep and
19
she goes
hours
to wake her up.
19. Yeah. If you, okay, it depends on the day.
Oh, I can sleep that long, but it's not okay for a baby. So, sadly, baby M never woke up again.
No.
Tatiana took her youngest.
I'll do this one because I'm a mom, and this one fucking makes me want to choke her. Tatiana took her youngest child, her baby girl, out of the crib. Blatantly cold. She placed her on the changing table and attempted CPR on her 10-month-old baby and said, this is what she said. She was non-responsive. If your baby my baby was on a table and I did CPR and it didn't, non-responsive isn't the fucking word I'm going to use.
Well, here's where things get really crazy.
Ugh.
Tatiana put baby M back into her crib, tucked her into a blanket, and put a hat on her because she was cold.
Yeah.
And she didn't want her to be cold
Tatiana.
Anymore.
Tatiana.
Yeah.
So,
and
she
gave
was
her a little polar
cold
bear.
Because she was unresponsive.
Dead. She was freaking dead.
So
what
she.
Fuck, man? It's messed up.
It's disgusting. I cried numerous times when I was writing this. She tucked her into her little blanket. She put a little hat on little baby M's head. And she gave her little polar bear to snuggle with, even though she was unresponsive.
Yeah.
She was passed away.
So she woke up Seth, and the first thing Seth does, not knowing what to do, he calls his attorney.
He's unworldly like that. He believes in God, and suddenly God can't tell you what to do.
Yeah, so he calls his attorney.
Because he doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
You know what?
What?
The attorney that he called, we find out later in the 911 call, which I also linked you guys because this 911 call has become at least nationally infamous because it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
An hour, like halfway through the call, he admits, oh, my attorneys are my parents.
Yeah.
And they live in Holland and they're driving from Holland to Cedar Springs, which is like, what, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it's
if
a long
you're lucky,
drive.
Maybe yeah. 50.
Oh, you get there.
Oh, you get, oh yeah, you get there, guy. You just keep her moving and
so,
she'll get there.
1.5 hours later, Seth finally makes a call now to 911.
All
to
this
report
time.
This. Oh yeah, dead baby. Dead baby. This gets good. The 911 operator
is a fucking genius. He's a god. He had to have been a cop or watches. He's us.
Oh, yeah.
He watches every murder show.
After
ever.
A short chat on the line with both Seth and the Rockford ambulance, the operator continued to ask the best questions ever.
You found your child an hour and a half ago and called your lawyer first?
Yeah. Why? Do you think she's dead?
When was the last time you had contact with the child?
So you're saying it's normal for your children to sleep from around, say at 3 p.m. until 10 a.m.?
And on, that guy was fucking...
Keeping him on the line.
He's a hero. It's not even about keeping him on the line. This motherfucker knew this shit was going to be trial-worthy, juicy shit in court later on. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Finally, this question, and I have to hear him any longer.
You guys have seriously upset it. I'll say it again. so many times I had to listen to this douche. I had to listen to Summer's Eve a lot.
But in my heart, I say, nah, I gotta give it away for free, man. I can't hold on to this. Like, that's not... But in my heart, I say, nah, I gotta give it away for free, man. I can't hold on to this. Like, that's not...
Can you believe she was beyond help already?
Oh, yeah. She has killed the guy at the door.
I'll play that again, because it sounded like shit, and I fucked up. The 911 call has become infamous. I have a link to it. This is the most disturbing part.
Can you believe she was beyond help already?
Oh, yeah. She has killed the guy at the door.
Do you believe she's beyond help already? Oh, yeah, she's dead as a doornail. Dead as a doornail is how he explained his baby child. 43.
Soon after.
Oh, we already talked about that part. 44.
Seth called before his parental attorneys arrived.
Yeah, he called 911, that whole thing.
Yeah,
we played you the grossest part, and it sounded like shit, but you guys got to listen to the whole 911 call, because you know how they are.
Also, you know that the 911 operator had to have known just how juicy this small talk would be in court.
No, his blatant lack of empathy.
Especially.
No with, sadness.
Yeah, exactly.
Daughter just died.
Exactly.
Oh, she's dead. She's non-responsive, which is exactly the words I would use when my kid died.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, my God, I'd be screaming.
You'd lose your gosh darn
my
mind.
My gourd. And he said, she's non-responsive, and she's dead as a doornail.
Oh, that's very specific.
I really hope that when he's in jail, that people fuck him up the ass and say, you're going to be dead as a doornail, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
46.
When police arrive, the farmland outside is not being farmed and is all overgrown and unkempt. They're not doing shit. What are they, smoking weed?
I don't even think they smoke. They smoke Jesus's dick.
Oh.
Dude, Jesus is also their enough. Vaccine.
That's enough to not have to do anything.
They're anti-vaxxers because Jesus said.
Will make everything all better.
It's going to be great.
That's what Jesus does.
You know what?
He makes everything all better. And you don't have to do a goddamn thing. You just let Jesus do it all for you.
Damn.
Inside,
can we make some money off of your evangelistic shit?
My anger? Okay.
Inside the house, flies buzzed around soiled diapers. Oh, my God. The mattress that Baby M was apparently so kindly tucked into with her little polar bear was motherfucking disgusting.
I've seen pictures of it. This whole thing is fucking disgusting. I want to poke this guy in the fucking eyeball.
The mattress had like a hole in the middle, like a dog had scraped it out. It had black mold in the fucking mattress. Yep. Your child would be better off in the bottom drawer of a dresser with five blankets than in that motherfucking nasty ass fucking crib. Oh,
Baby M.
Oh, I want to kill
these
two. A 10-month
old child was found emaciated. She weighed only 8 pounds.
8 pounds.
The medical coroner stated that.
Time out.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. Do you know how much I weighed when I was born?
How much?
10. This baby weighed less at 10 months old than I did when I was born.
This is really horrible.
It's so hard, you guys. I'm
I don't know how a human being could do this to a helpless child.
And apparently the other two were fine. There was no, besides the fact that they weren't vaccinated, but what'd the medical coroner say?
Medical coroner stated that it would have taken weeks of malnutrition to achieve the state of being where baby M was.
She was
also severely dehydrated.
So when
underfed,
I didn't,
no water.
I didn't write this down, but because it's just hard. They said that when a child or a human is at that point, and especially a baby of 10 months old, that she was not strong enough to even cry out. She was not strong enough to raise her arms. So when fuck faces say we didn't hear her in that 19 hours of time,
that makes me want to puke.
She didn't have the physical.
Just couldn't.
She didn't have the physical ability to even cry. She couldn't cry. She was dehydrated. She had no tears.
It breaks my heart.
It's fucking awful.
At the time, there were no prior medical records on file for the child.
Seth had said during the 911 call that it was normal for their kids to sleep that long when they were going through a growth spurt. Okay. Again, as a mom, yes.
Maybe.
Your kids do grow. Teenagers, look at how much they sleep. They're growing. Every one of my kids slept longer when they were growing. They had spurts. Most moms will attest to this. But 19 fucking hours of growth sleeping? Mm. Nah, bitches. Nah. No. 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 No.
Yeah, so Seth posts on Facebook about how broken he is about their baby having passed away.
He was so sad.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, they were arrested the very next day.
Of course, both were given psych evaluations and both passed, so they were fit to stand trial.
Yep. While in jail, Seth gave an interview via the video thing with Wood TV 8, which is a Michigan West Grand Rapids channel, where he claims that Baby M was not sick at all.
Oh, of course Baby M wasn't sick.
I also,
they killed the fucking baby.
I'm
sorry, I didn't mean fucking baby.
No, I understand child. What you're saying. I did include this interview, too, because it's, oh my God, he fiends sadness. He's like, oh, it's so fresh. And then he goes on. Like, he just, oh, just a minute. It's so fresh.
He goes on to say things in creepy-ass ways, like, my wife completely drained her breast milk. Claims it's tough to talk about because it's raw, still with no emotion. Goes okay, on to
who
explain.
Who says my wife completely drained her breast milk?
I don't know.
Is that out of the Bible?
So it goes on to explain the sorcery of pharmacy.
The original word in Greek is pharmaka.
Oh.
Which is definitely from Satan.
Oh, is that?
He said, yeah. I don't remember what it means because apparently I didn't type it down.
But that's why they didn't believe in doctors or vaccines or anything like that.
Yeah, you know what else he said?
What?
Oh, my God, get your tinfoil hat out. We should have tinfoil hats up here. No, we shouldn't. He said that vaccines contain
aborted fetuses. Yeah.
Aborted fetuses.
And I've heard that.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, because people are nuts and they think stupid shit mostly like that. And also, his fake ass sadness makes me want to barf.
Seth also claimed that he is not being fairly charged, that he is being made an example of because of his strong faith. Mm-hmm. And he still shows, like, no emotion.
None. He's like, oh, am I being made an example of? No, he said, am I being treated fairly? Yeah, in here, in jail. He's being treated fairly, but out here where you guys are charging me with this, I'm not being treated fairly. Dick fuck.
In court, Tatiana claims that Seth forced her into his ways and his religion.
Ways.
And that he has beaten her and raped her?
Yep, that's what she says.
Okay.
I don't... God, I sound like a dick when I say this, but I...
No, don't say it.
That's a good idea. Thanks.
Came out in court from Seth to Tatiana that said, it's wild. I'm about to fuck her up. I gagged her for a bit. It was so bad.
He was talking about baby M. When she was working at McDonald's, he was at home babysitting the baby, and he texted her that about the baby. He gagged baby M because she wouldn't stop crying. Also, the jury had to see photos of baby M after she passed away. You guys don't want to see those photos. And they brought that disgusting fucking baby mattress into court to show the jury members how I wouldn't let my cat sleep on that. And speaking of her, she's...
Baby M was a mere 1 pound, 2 ounces more than when she was born.
10 months later.
Barely fed.
Defense attorney Charles Clapp fought for Seth and his family, stating that Seth worked hard and the couple were just unprepared for 3 children.
I can't do this. This is disgusting.
It's hard. We're almost there, Boo. You want to know why? Charlie is a fucking goddamn good guy, and I know this because I've met him personally. He gets paid to defend people.
Oh, Charlie. Okay, good.
You know Charlie. Well, you don't know him, but I've talked about him. After hearing Seth's trial and charges, Tatiana pleads guilty.
Oh, good. Seth and Tatiana were together when their sentences were given. Tatiana is sentenced to life in prison without parole on the charges of first-degree murder, felony murder, and first-degree child abuse and neglect.
Tatiana maintains her innocence due to the domestic violence and plans to appeal her conviction. I'm not trying to be a dick. I don't believe her. Seth ends up sentenced to life with no parole on the charges of the same first-degree murder, felony murder, and first-degree child abuse and neglect.
Judge Denenfeld said, I will never understand how they watched their child starve to death.
Literally.
So fucking...
I'm sorry. We're so close to being done, and then we can drink more, and then we'll just forget that there's fucking people like this in the world.
Oh, my God.
Basically, we now know that they have been charged. They're both put in jail. The other two kids go to the grandparents. Fucking Seth. Motherfucking Seth. He's in jail, right?
Yeah, so he has to see a doctor.
What?
Yeah, does he get to?
Did you take your dying daughter to see the fucking doctor?
No, because he didn't believe in doctors.
You want to know why? Because one time they went to a doctor and they got called out on something and CPS came over and then he was like, I don't believe in doctors now because they are going to put me in jail. Ugh, You know what another fucked up thing is that happens after all of this shit?
What?
Tatiana, who just let her baby die of malnutrition, put her baby in a disgusting, piss-looking, black mold
fucking
mattress. She had a fourth child while she was in prison.
Oh, well, good for her. That's magical.
Not allowed to see the other two siblings who are now living with their grandparents and hopefully living a wonderful life.
You know, I want to poke those people right in the eyeball.
I really hope jail justice, JJ, happens.
It may or may not happen. Most likely, it won't. Your Highness.
Seth resides in Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility, which is in the middle of our state. Shitiana resides in the Huron Valley Women's Complex in Yipsy. I was at work and I was listening to Sword and Scale and I heard the super deep dive on the story. So if you guys want to hear, you know, way more detail than what we give you, which is just an outline, listen to Sword and Scale. Sword and Scale. Episode number 165, Dear Hate. Tell them we sent you over and say hi to your folks.
You know, and thank you for listening because this was really difficult for us to read.
Videos I had to watch. All of the, I can't do it when I'm a mama. This is how disturbing I research. Stuff. Yes, I listened to his episode during work, which means I absorb like half of it. When I research an episode, I don't get court records or anything. I just watch a ton of fucking videos, and then I try to put it in chronological order, and then I put the story out.
Highness, do we have a happy ending?
I do. Do you know the titty torture it was listening to him?
Yes.
In all those videos.
I understand your titty torture all day long because just listening to this story is
cringe worthy.
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Cringe. Boo. Happy ending. Good note. God, having nothing to do with babies. This is Patty Pershala in Patty the Pershala. Mayhap called Do It For Me. Here we go. Cheers. And please don't fucking starve your babies, for Christ's sake.
Nor your puppies.
You know I scratched your back until my last nail cracked. But honey, I got an itch that I can't read.
That's a hard one.
It's right in the center, so we'll rub up against whatever just to get some temporary relief. You don't do it for me, baby. I'm not sorry. Said I'm the best. I never meant to lie, but I won't say it wasn't funny. So call me what you want, but as long as I'm all I got. I know that I'm in good company, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for choosing Michigan Murders and Music. Please rate the show wherever you listen. Michigan Murders and Music is produced by The Boots. Episodes are researched and written by Your Highness. Edited by Your Highness. Views and opinions are the sole stupidity of us and us alone. Don't blame others, please. Listening to this podcast could quite possibly cause major problems to your earballs and definitely will mess up your kids. Permission has been given to us by the bands, and we purchase our music on Bandcamp.com. Support your local music scene and all local music scenes.